Previously on Those Were the Days.
Oh, I definitely stopped it and found the YouTube video of the intro.
You start hearing the theme song to Alf, and like, I'm now diving through the house.
Go
I
for it.
I completely forgot what a sex pot Laverne is.
Because I want to know what kind of gentleman wakes up and says, you know what looked good on me today?
This is like weird pseudo Jetsons thing going on.
That was not a small medallion. That was like almost Flavor Flav territory.
And we used to do the dance. My sister and I used to do the Schlemiel Schlemazel like all the time. I remember that in the kitchen in our socks.
Those Were the Days is filmed before a live internet audience.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Those Were the Days, the show that talks about old TV with a new perspective. My name is Amy, and this week we're wrapping up Jumping the Shark. And we're going to do that by talking about one of my favorite shows, I Dream of Jeannie. More specifically, the two-part episode, oh Lord, and I forgot the title of it, Killing It. Who's going to be the bride? It's an ugly title. It's not good, is the problem. Anyway, I wish I had done this better, and I wish I had some help in this episode. So for my first wish, I'm going to wish that Steven was here.
Okay, let me get this straight. A genie has to live in a bottle for years and years until she's let out and has a servant master. But she can leave that master at any time when she needs to go back to her family, who's an actually ruling body of a small country near Russia. They can do magic, but they don't have masters. Got it. Makes perfect sense.
And I wish that Audie was here.
Well, Baba had them 40 thieves. Sherazade had 1,000 tails. But Master, you're in luck, cuz up your sleeves, you gotta braid it. Wait. We've got our imaginary producer in my ear. What? Oh, I Dream of Jeannie. Okay. And which episode? Oh, the two-parter with the weird fake element. What was it? Adamantium? No. Tritanium? No. Unobtainium. Whatever. I'm sure one of you remembers.
And of course, I wish for Travis.
In the tradition of Basenji, I will now light this with my mouth. Wait, no. That's my other character. I'm sorry.
So, yes. I Dream of Jeannie, the two-part episode, Guess Who's Going to Be a Bride. As we learned from Steven, the premise of this show, in case you are somehow unfamiliar, is that astronaut Tony Nelson, when he lands in his little pod, lands off target. He winds up on a deserted island where he finds a bottle that contains a genie. Genie instantly falls in love with him, and he wishes to be rescued, which she does, and also gets back in her bottle and rolls it into his bag and goes home with him. Now, the thing is, he spends a lot of this show trying to get rid of her. It's like most of the run of the show, he is trying to get rid of her. Nobody knows she exists with the exception of Roger, who I love. And so here we are in the final season. And sort of like with Travis's episode, the writing was kind of already on the wall. But we've been through almost 5 years of them not being married, and Standards and Practices was having it no more. Nobody wanted this. No one was interested in this storyline, but here we are. So we talked last week about how important a killer opening theme song is. This one is iconic, as is the animation. All right, boys, so what, like, if I think back, like, prior to streaming services, if you had asked me which old TV I watched the most, it would have been I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched. Those would be the shows that I'd be like, no, I know those. Those are my old TV shows. What's your history with I Dream of Jeannie? Let's start with Travis.
I remember I Dream of Jeannie, but I definitely would conflate. My memory is very mixed with Bewitched.
Yeah.
they occupy a very similar space in my brain. But I enjoyed watching it when I did. It was one of those just fun sitcoms that would be on that I didn't really pay attention to, but I did at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like most young heterosexual boys, Barbara Eden was a conduit into manhood for me.
Some people it's Jessica Rabbit, other people it's Barbara Eden. You know, pick your poison.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah.
Watching it, it did remind me of the tone of the show. I actually even went back and watched the pilot episode. Because I was just very curious how this blonde-haired, blue-eyed lady was a genie from somewhere near Russia. And when she comes out of the bottle in the pilot episode, she's speaking Persian, I believe, before he wishes that she spoke English. And then suddenly she speaks English, and there we go. We've got a show. I also had a lot of fun in this episode. We'll talk about later with some of the guest stars.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Steven?
Oh, I loved this show. This show is like pairing Bewitched and I Dream a Genie together. I think they were running alongside each other for a long time on Nick at Night, and I watched both of them enough to be annoyed when Dick York was replaced by Dick Sargent and they went to color on Bewitched. Like, that threw me. I'm like, I don't even like this guy. Who is he? I don't know who he is. But yeah, I Dream of Jeannie. I loved Major Healy. I'm so glad you mentioned him. He's my favorite person on this show. And I don't know if it's just like he was less uppity, you know, than maybe Major Nelson was. Like, I just really loved Major Healy a lot. He was my favorite character on the show. And I was too young for Barbara Eden to truly be a conduit to manhood. But watching it with adult eyes, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. I now see why people were so upset, why Standards and Practices may have had a close eye on this show more than other shows. We'll put it that way.
Sure.
But no, love to be some My Dream of Jeannie. Really glad you picked this episode to close us out for Jumping the Shark.
How about you, Adi?
Yeah, this is one of those where I never watched it before, but I knew about it because of again, this is one of those shows that's just a cultural zeitgeist. Everybody knows it because they know it. The theme song, absolutely. Like, I couldn't tell you anything about the show, but if you asked me to hum the theme song, I could immediately do it just because reasons.
And I have been all day.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. But I mean, this watching this came out of nowhere. I did not remember Larry Hagman was Captain Nelson at all. Like, that threw me for a loop. I was like, holy heck, he's young. Good Lord. But it was a lot of fun watching this. Like, I could see all the gags and just, you know, and of course, Barbara Eden is Barbara Eden. So, yeah, this was fun.
So it's kind of like Amelia Bedelia for grown-ups, right? Because she takes things extremely literally, which is a lot of the problem. So this episode opens and she's talking to Roger, trying to figure out what to give her master for their fifth anniversary of him finding her bottle, which is not a euphemism.
Is that what they call it these days?
I don't think. All right, so the elephant in the proverbial elephant in the room. There's a lot of white guys in brown makeup in this episode, and several words that we do not use in this, the year of our Lord 2022. So if you haven't watched the episode yet, just fair warning, there is some stuff.
It was in the 60s, and it was Hollywood, and that's what they did then. And
yeah,
was it right?
It's not cool.
No.
But we're gonna just go with it a little bit now. Suddenly out of nowhere, Jeannie's great uncle Suleiman shows up with his two dudes, and he is the Maharaja of Basenji. So Basenji is a kind of dog, in case you didn't know. It is a dog breed from Africa that happens to be very popular in Egypt. And so I'm going to pretend that that's about as close as we've gotten to this. So the way these guys are dressed is a lot. Now, I give them the benefit of the doubt, especially because there's another character later. I give them the benefit of the doubt. It's because they are, like, Suleiman is a genie, right? So that's not, mm-hmm. like, a real person from the Middle East. That's correct. It's a whole other thing. And I like to pretend that that's true. And
that's the story we're going with.
Yeah, he rolls in and he's like, listen, I'm abdicating. You're going to be queen of Basenji, which is a breed of dog. And that's going to be great. And Jeannie's like, perfect. That's what I can give my master for our anniversary. A country. Which is, have you ever had somebody give you a gift that actually turns out to be like a job? Right? Like, you know, like how you don't give people pets as a gift?
Right.
Because that's like a whole job. It's a similar thing we have going on here. And then we see...
Dad buys you a brand new lawnmower.
Yeah, great, thanks. I appreciate it. so then Major Nelson is coming home from... We don't know, wherever he was. And what I love about this is that some of our stock footage is still in black and white.
Yeah, notice that.
Because this show ran for 139 episodes. 30 of them were in black and white that were later colorized. The other 109 were in color. And so he's back and he's got an assignment to walk around the ambassador of Kasha, which is a cereal, because they have the only refinable vein of finkillium.
That's what it was.
Finkillium.
Mm-hmm. Our MacGuffin for this episode is finkillium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, named after Roy Finkel.
And what I like about this, right, is because Tony's like, I am not qualified for diplomatic missions. Like, I don't know what you're doing. And they're like, yeah, but we promised an astronaut would walk them around.
Because that's a great idea.
That rang pretty true, honestly. So the thing is that Kasha, which is a cereal, shares a border with Russia, Afghanistan, and a tiny emirate called Basenji.
Of course, it does.
So this immediately sets up our problem for the episode, because Uncle Suleiman and his two dudes are waiting for Tony in his office, and Tony's like, "Ah, that's the guy. That's the guy I gotta walk around. This is great."
Never asking if he is, never confirming that, just making
never
the assumption.
Never noticing that he dresses like the weird lady that's lived with him for 5 years. you know, that's fine. He's just being racist. He's like, no, obviously. Look at them.
Mm-hmm. What are the chances, you know, that this would be in his office?
So like, there's quality Roger here, because Roger's outside the door, and he knows that, you know, Tony is theoretically about to become Maharaja of Basenji. And Roger's not going to keep it a secret. It's real good. I forget if it's right here or later on when he's like, he says something about like, yeah, well, you'll have a harem and maybe you can get me one and then we can see. Yes.
He said that here.
Yeah.
This is great.
Oh, it's so good.
I'd forgotten that Major Healy was kind of a player. Like, yeah. This is not the first time he references
though.
Women.
Like, he's not, like, he does, like, later he gets a bunch of letters.
Mm-hmm.
He is fraternizing with people with whom he is not supposed to fraternize.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he says, have you ever tried to kiss a walrus? And, like, but he's not a jerk about it. He's just,
no.
Hey, look, you know, kissing a walrus, he had been in the Aleutian Islands for 3 whole weeks. Okay.
Weeks.
Obviously, he has limits.
Yeah.
He's just, it's, you're right. There's an innocence to the way he approaches this, where it's just like, that's just a nice guy looking to have some company.
Sooner
but not like
or later,
a butthole.
He's going to wind up getting married, and so he might as well, in the meantime, shop around.
It's perfect attitude. Just like, yeah.
So the problem is that Kasha and Basenji are, eternal and mortal enemies. And so when Tony pledges his undying allegiance to Kasha, thinking that this is what will get them the finkillium, that they need for their rocket fuel. Uncle Suleiman's like, okay, sure. Are you sure? You're sure? Okay. Well, congratulations. Now you're a galley slave.
Yeah. After some general hijinks ensue.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Dr. Bellows really gets the short end of the stick in this episode. I mean, this is always his thing, right? Is he's always the one that, like, sees something and nobody else sees anything weird. And they're like, well, did you see that? No, it's nothing. Didn't even worry about it.
Mm-hmm. He's the Gladys Kravitz of this series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gets beat up pretty hard. He winds up in the wind tunnel. It just rips his clothes to pieces. He's having a day.
By the way, they mentioned, Major Nelson mentions that wind tunnel gets wind speeds of up to 2,000 miles an hour. And I was like, holy hell. Like, a hurricane is like 150.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they needed to come up with some number that would result in his clothes being ripped to shreds. Right. So one, they're just like, just... So
150 will do that. If you've been in a hurricane, you know.
His little boxers on the bench there.
I love Dr. Bellows.
Oh, he's great.
He's great.
So Tony's on this ship. We don't know where it's going. It doesn't matter. And he is counting out loud his rowing technique. Because as he explains to Jeannie when she shows up, if he gets off, it messes up the other guys. And he does not. Want to do that.
You got to keep in sync with
everybody. That's one of the jokes that actually had me chuckle out loud. Like, there are very few that hit for me in either of these episodes, and that one did get me. I'm like, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty. The delivery really nailed it.
Yeah.
So he's like, Jeannie, get me out of here. She's like, I would love to. I would love to. But my Uncle Suleiman did this, and his wishes are higher than my wishes, and like his magic is better than my magic. And like, let me go talk to him. Yeah, you should do that. Thank you.
Who knew there was a hierarchy of genie magic?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So she goes to talk to him, and she's like, "Yeah, no, I'll let him out. Sure, I'll let him out if he promises to marry you, and if he avenges the honor of Basenji." And she's like, great, no problem, sure thing, can do. Well, Suleiman finds out that the ambassador from Kasha is at the base, and he's like, this is perfect. Tony is tasked with killing the ambassador, and hilarity ensues with a lot of bladed weapons that appear from nowhere, which is kind of great. Like all of a sudden he's pointing with a sword. He goes to shake the guy's hand and there's like a dagger and he's like, ah, here, a ceremonial letter opener for you. Which the dude looks at it and it says Maiden Basenji and he throws it in the trash.
That was great.
So Suleiman's watching from the trash and this whole thing. And so finally, like the ambassador is like, enough is enough. I'm out of here. I'll see you later. Tony's fed up with Uncle Sully. He slams the lid on the trash can and he's like, listen, I wouldn't marry her if she were the last genie on Earth. Yeah, well, it's not Sully that's in the trash can, is it?
No.
It's a genie. How could you, Tony?
When did that switcheroo happen, though? Like, I don't remember seeing... Was that just the plot demands that, like, genie is now in the trash can
I think,
for no reason?
I think maybe... Right, because we do see the trash can appear in the space room, which we assume that Suleiman was the one that popped in there to keep stuff going. Mm-hmm. But we don't actually know. But yeah.
He was moving that trash can around, kept bumping into whatever blades got put back in the trash can.
Yeah.
It's dangerous in here. Mm-hmm. You know? Stop manifesting blades. I don't know what to tell you.
My favorite manifestation of his during that, though, was the pit of tigers.
Yeah, in the wind
inside
tunnel.
Of the wind tunnel.
Yeah.
Which, first of all, opening the wind tunnel as, like, No, look, look, it's a wind tunnel. Fantastic. Excellent part of the tour. Thanks.
I love the visual effects on that were just amazing. We're just going to mat like a National Geographic shot of a tiger in the wind tunnel. That's perfect.
I think that if memory serves, that's not the, that's like a not uncommon gag. I believe.
Oh, no.
I think and stuff it, shows sure. up in the
it's
wind
not
tunnel.
Like the TV. Televisions at the time had the high fidelity that you would really recognize a difference that much.
Yeah, it's also true.
Yeah, it's true.
So she's like, all right, well, screw you then. I'm going to go be queen. goodbye forever. And she blinks out. Tony is distraught. He and Roger run home. He's got flowers for Jeannie, and he can't find his keys. He sits. He's got her bottle on the table, and he leans over and he's apologizing. And he's like, "I didn't mean it. I was fed up with your uncle, and I'm sorry." He's like, "Wait, her bottle's empty." And then he looks in, and there's a note, and he gives it to Roger to read because he just cannot. And he's like, well, I think she really left you this time. End of episode. Heck of an end of episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Crushing.
Right?
You know?
I was like kind of upset. I was like, huh. But I mean, you as a TV viewer know that you've got like however many episodes a season. Like,
well, we know that now. Like I wonder though what people in like, you know, 60, whatever, nine or whenever this was. I think this was 1969. Yeah. That had to have been a bit of a shock to just end the episode like that.
Yeah. I the TV guide says it's on next week. So, you know, you're probably all right.
One thing I wanted to address, we kind of brushed past. Yeah, Major Healy was going to poison the ambassador from Kasha.
And that was another thing that I think got blinked in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was just like a cup.
That came from Suleiman.
Well, the guy, Suleiman, gives him the cup and he's like, give this to him. And it's like this bubbling concoction. Maybe you're like, okay, no problem. Sure. That sounds perfect. You're trying to murder him, but I mean, maybe this is just soda, you know? And then it burns Major Healy's shoe, all the pieces. But I just was stunned. I'm like, Major Healy didn't even think. But that's fitting to his character. Yeah. You know, he's the bumbling sidekick.
Yep.
I was just still shocked. He's going to poison a dude. Okay. That would have gone over real well.
That's fine.
Alaska would have been the least of his worries.
Right. It's been a big problem.
So the part two starts with a recap of what happened in episode one. And so once he realizes that Jeannie is gone, he tries to talk, like he and Roger try to talk him into, this is great. This is exactly what you've wanted. This is what you've been trying for four seasons to do.
Yeah.
Is like get her to not be a problem anymore. Before we get too much further, in season two, there was an episode in which Tony learns that if a genie gets married, they lose their powers.
Ooh.
And he winds up thinking that this is a solution because now she will not be able to perform magical hijinks. And there's a whole thing where some other magical creature shows up and shows genie their future if they do this. And it's a whole thing. And so they wind up not getting married. That whole thing gets ignored completely.
If you read about this show, you quickly realize that they didn't care about their continuity or their background because it changes constantly anyway. Yeah. Like,
and by the time we got to here, like I said, the writing was on the wall. This is, let's just wrap it up, kids. We're out of here. We're done here. So now he's like, this is great. And then he starts checking the empties under the sink to make sure that she didn't just pick another bottle.
Because she can do that, right? That's been an established thing where she just can blop in one bottle or another bottle or whatever, right? Am I misremembering that? I feel like she's gotten to another bottle before.
I feel like, yes, that has happened, but I didn't watch enough episodes and I don't have a good enough memory to know for sure.
I appreciate you agreeing with me one way or the other, Travis.
Either way, there is an abundant amount of bottles in this house this particular episode for them
to
check.
Well, I mean, because you got to take them down to the packy to get your deposit back. So it's not like you just put them out every other week in the bins. You got to take them down.
It's 1969. True. Like, they He's didn't have gone. As many. They still had their potato chips in tin cans. You know what I mean? We're not at the plastic age yet, you know? I mean, we're there, but not as prolific.
And so he gets Roger to also go check bottles. The number of bottles, like, of vaguely genie-ish bottles, your narrow-necked, wide-bottom bottles and other vessels in this house is it's high. So he starts looking at them. The best is, like, he's like eats mints out of a tin. He's checking the couch cushions.
Yo. where all the big bin where all of the umbrellas are and everything.
Yeah.
Dumps that
he
out.
Just dumps them out.
I really love that they dumped out the peppermint tin because it made me go, oh, this is what the generation before me really just had tin cans full. Because my grandma always had that.
Yeah,
and now I'm
like
Major Nelson is a middle-aged gentleman and he's got mints in a can. It's just what they did.
They do.
And also I took note of his decor. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't go very far without discussing the problems with 1960s era coloring in early 70s. Like, green carpet, wooden everything, yellow, just green and yellow everywhere. Like, and then that one, did you guys notice the one bright blue chair someone just sat in the foyer? Mm-hmm. Like, didn't match anything. It was like a space age chair. It's like Jeannie brought that with her when she came in. Like, look at this magic chair.
He got it from NASA. It's just space chair.
What prop guy sat that there and went, this will not cause any inappropriate contrast at all. It'll
it's
look
the prop
great.
Guy that did it when they were in black and white and didn't think about it when they got to color.
They just let it go. Like,
that is not
they're so
bad,
used to seeing
theory.
It. You know,
use a lot of bright blues in black and white because it wasn't about the color of something. It was about the shade they were going to get.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe it could be something to that, Audie. Thank you for making that make sense because I was struggling.
You're welcome.
I have a weakness for some mid-century modern, so I don't hate it as much as I probably, like, empirically should.
I didn't say I didn't like the blue chair. I just didn't think
it
made sense with the rest of the decor.
No. Shag carpet, though, can go right out.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's crunchy after a few years.
It's not good. Because if you grew up in the '80s, like many of us did here, someone you knew had shag carpet in their basement.
Oh yeah.
Which was not a place that you ever wanted shag in the first place. And by the '80s it was not a good time.
No.
Walking around here and you go
like, what is that?
What
Those
is
are
that?
Chips from 1973. Don't even worry about it. It's a miracle any of us got this far, honestly.
Oh, boy. We can survive anything. We made it through the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We're good.
One of the places he looks is in the ketchup bottle, which explodes in his face.
That was a great gag.
Funny.
It was
and
a great,
went,
so committed.
Wonderfully
this one,
telegraphed gag, too. Like, I
saw
it coming,
you know.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Just, uh-huh. And then he gets his hand stuck in, I believe, a Coke bottle. Or it's the ketchup bottle. I don't know, whatever. He's got his hand stuck in it, and he's yelling for Roger to come help him. Meanwhile, Dr. Bellows has shown up to ask them to, like, come on, come back. We're going to fix this. Come on back. Let's fix this. And Tony, not thinking, salutes, smacks himself in the forehead with the bottle, and passes out.
That was my favorite 1-2 punch gag.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The thing that stood out to me, and I couldn't help but notice it, is that when he walks into the room, there's no longer ketchup all over his eyes.
Yeah.
It's been cleared out to the point where you could tell that he put on safety goggles and then they splattered it in his face because it's a perfect outline of a set of like construction worker safety goggles. And then he could take it off and he's just got it like right where it wouldn't be. It was perfect. I felt like a detective. Like, I know how they did that. I can watch. I'm a splatter scientist. Look at me.
Look at you.
I know how this works. Yeah.
And so they're clear. He's clearly unhinged. Everything's a mess. They bring him in and they're like, look, you made such a mess out of this. We can't even make fuel. You know what? You're going to Alaska to watch for satellites. And Roger's going with you because... Oh, it's Roger. He just... I'm sure he did something. It's fine. He did almost poison a man. I suppose we did cover that. Meanwhile, in Basenji, which is a kind of dog, Jeannie is very sad because she misses her master, who she loves, who she has loved for like 5 years, and she misses him. And she's finally like, well, fine. Like, let's just do this, I guess. Like, great. I'll get married. I'll be queen and everything will be great. I don't need no man except for the husband that I have to marry. It's fine. And so they're going to do the riddle of the box, which, guess what's in the box? Marry Jeannie. Get it wrong. Get beheaded.
It's a great game.
Big stakes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Basenji game shows.
Yeah. 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 Meanwhile, in an igloo somewhere in the Aleutian Islands, 3 weeks later, the boys are having a time. It's cold. They're like, igloos are much nicer than that, but not that cold. It's fine. So he's got, Roger has gone to get the mail. He's like, also, I set up dates for us. Don't even worry about it. But I've got the mail. And so Roger's got like 4 letters from different women. And then there's a letter from Dr. Bellows for Tony. And great. We're being recalled. We're going to be on the Apollo 14 mission.
Yeah.
We're back, baby. Go to Cocoa Beach. But he also gets he gets a message also about how the queen of Basenji is going to be choosing a husband and getting married, and and it's going to happen on Wednesday. So like, did Jeannie send him this?
I couldn't figure out where that came from.
I guess it slipped in somehow.
Yeah, it was weird.
I like to think it was Jeannie, right? It's like sending your ex your wedding, your like engagement announcement. You're like, I'm doing great, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't even think about you that I sent this to you in Alaska where I didn't know you were. Don't even worry about it.
Apparently the punishment for nearly killing an ambassador from a small country is 3 weeks in the Aleutian Islands and then
it was supposed to be 6 months. But because they were able to get the Finkilium from
somewhere,
an unknown source.
Okay. Yeah.
Was it Jeannie? I'm going to pretend it's Jeannie. I'm going to pretend this is all way deeper than it is and not a lot of writers on cocaine going, yeah.
Make this work.
It's fine.
Jeannie's really, really super smart and she's just been hiding it all these years.
Pulling the strings behind the scenes, blinking stuff.
Thank you for the space program, Jeannie. So this is it. Tony has got to go get her because he loves her. He's always loved her. He cannot let her marry somebody else. He cannot live without her. I'm going. And Roger's like, we're not going to, by the time we get back, it's going to be too late. And he's like, we're not going back. I'm just going, guys. I'm going to steal United States Air Force property and fly it to the Middle East over Russia.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which Roger's a couple of times when it's great. Right, he's like says goodbye to all of his girls. Goodbye career. At one point when they're en route, he's like firing squad. help me out, anybody? Like, so they do notice that they are flying over Russia, which is not good.
No, especially not in the 1960s.
Or right. Now, or the
80s. Yeah, back then, Russia was the bad guys. Wait.
Back then?
There was like a brief period of time. There was a brief period of time when it was exclusively people in the Middle East, but we're back to Russia now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hollywood is like, phew, because we've got a lot of costumes already. We do not want to do this again.
So they just waited a few years to make Red Dawn. They would have been like remake it. They would have been fine.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. They'd switch countries. You know.
So the day of the riddle has arrived, and there are no suitors because. I mean, Barbara Eden's hot, but is she beheaded if you guess what's in, if you don't guess what's in the box? I don't know.
I don't know that anyone's hot
that's
enough
what I'm saying,
for
right?
me to yeah. No.
Yeah, that's
like, a beheading part.
If it's life or death of a loved one, maybe.
Sure.
But
maybe.
I mean,
but also, risk beheading, maybe get some strange. I don't no.
Also appreciated that Basenji didn't try to make any other people blonde or blue-eyed to fit in with Genie at all.
No.
No, they just grabbed whoever they could off the street and put him in costume.
Yeah. Including the guy who played the ambassador from Casa the last episode.
Oh, yeah. So the ambassador from Casa was wearing a suit and a turban, and the turban was still very shiny, but at least it was not all the beads.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything. It's okay. So Tony shows up and he's like, I'm doing the thing. I want to marry her. I'm doing it. And they're like, okay, but we're going to cut your head off if you're wrong. He's like, I don't care. I love Jeannie. Ba ba ba. And she's like, you don't have to do this. I do. Great. So he guesses that it's an ingot of Finkelium.
That was a good guess.
And they're all like, no.
No.
Now, we never find out what's in the box. It could have been. My thought was, like, when I watched it through the first time, I'm like, oh, well, Genie's just going to blink an ingot of Finkelium in there, and then he'll be right. No, he goes to be beheaded. And then she blinks him away at the last second. And she tells her uncle, listen, I'm not going to be queen. I'm going home with my master. That's how it's going to be. We're going home.
Blink.
Blink. And so that so Tony's, you know, back in his house, right? And he's like, whoa, because he was about to, the axe was about to come down.
Mm-hmm.
She blinks back into his arms, which was really cute. And she's like, you love me. Which, that's a good one. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, that worked.
And he's like, I gotta get to NASA. Can you blink me to NASA? I gotta get to NASA. And she goes with him. Nobody knows she exists, right? And she's like, he's like, oh, you're here. And we're here. And your dress is... weird. Fix that. And she's like, oh, yeah. Cutest little shirt, dress, mini skirt thing. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. It could not have been shorter.
No, it
impossible for impossible. It. If she sits on some bleachers, she's going to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Bellows and I don't know who, I forget who the other guy.
The general.
The general was there, right? He's like, oh, this is my fiance. Genie doesn't know this. Genie figures, you know, he was just doing it to get her bet, whatever. We don't need to mess up the status quo. But no, they're engaged. And then they realize that they forgot Roger back in Basenji, which is a kind of dog. And she's like, get Roger. Like, is there like where, you know, we just got in, you know, like, weren't you over Russia? Like, no, no,
obviously not. We're here.
Presumably the plane is still,
I was going to say the plane's still there.
In Basenji, yep. Don't even worry about it. And so he's like, bring back Roger. So he brings back, she brings back Roger, who was about to get his head cut off.
That poor axe man.
For being Roger.
Yeah. He didn't get any satisfaction.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Roger immediately tries to hide Jeannie, right? Because as far as he knows, protocol is she doesn't exist.
Right.
It's like, no, this is his fiance. I thought you knew her. He's like, oh, yeah, new haircut. I didn't. And so then the general's like, well, they've been gone for 3 weeks. I'm sure that Major Nelson wants to greet his fiance properly.
Yeah.
Standards and practices, you.
Look. They got rules.
Yeah. And so, like, the general and Dr. Bellows go walking down the hall talking about, like, you know, this is going to be good for him. You know, this'll level him out, right? He'll be dependable and even keeled. Meanwhile, Jeannie blinks them out. They turn around and they're gone. And Dr. Bellows loses his mind. He's like, they couldn't have been gone that fast. I don't know where they went. Ba, ba, ba. End of episode.
I didn't really notice this until the very end, but Dr. Bellows has a British accent. Like, he has a non-rotic way of speaking. He lets his R's kind of just fall over there. Why? is he British man, or is this just classically trained acting in 1969?
It's NASA, yes, but we can't give him a German accent? I don't,
yeah,
I mean,
I guess.
Yeah.
That's Project Paperclip. I don't know.
Weirded me out a little bit.
Yeah. No, you're right. I don't know that I have, it's just that, it's that upper class thing.
That's which is funny because he's from Brooklyn, Floridians. New York. Like, it's not like he's from some other country. He's American.
Oh, wow.
He's just putting on airs.
Everyone in the show was
he's
American.
A doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. Everyone
supposed to play a intelligent man.
Sure, yeah. But everyone in the show is American, including the Maharaja of Basenji, which is a kind of dog. So who amongst you realized who that actor was during the episode? And did you get my joke?
I got your joke because I heard
you
said it after.
Like, once
it was,
you said it.
Yeah, yeah, it was Jackie Coogan. Jackie Coogan.
Uncle Fester
played Suleiman. Mm-hmm. And it was during the second episode where I'm like, that face behind that bad facial hair looks familiar to me.
See, I had that feeling the whole time, too. And then I saw his name, Jackie Coogan. I was like, why does that sound so stinking familiar? And then I looked him up. I was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah, we had Jackie Coogan playing Suleiman, and Frank Duvall played Amir Hamed El-Yachman.
Yeah.
So these people were not what they're not Middle Eastern.
New.
actor. Well, that's unfortunate.
No, Frank Duvall was born in West Virginia.
Is it?
Okay.
And, is it me, or were the only actually brown people in this episode in the slave galley?
And the very first guy, instead of that very first guy, she blinked.
Guy. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. The tie.
Yeah.
That was
that
a joke.
One,
that
one got me.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, we're going to get right into it, aren't we? we're going to blink in a tie guy.
Tie guy. And then Roger said it's like half of a Siamese twin. I was like, oh, my
God. I was like, no. I did.
Holy
glossed.
Crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not great. So I have a funny story about I Dream of Jeannie that's like super tangential, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So one of my mom's friends, her name is Ginny. Her American name is Ginny. She's from Taiwan. And so she was working on an American base in, it must have been the late 70s, early 80s, right? And so then you had to have an American name if you were working on the base.
Right.
And so they asked her what her American name, what she wanted her American name to be. And she said Ginny. And so I forget how the real story came out. I think my mom was like just asking her, how she picked her name or whatever. And she said It was because she wanted this the name of the pretty lady from the bottle. She wanted to be Jeannie, but she because of the way the language works, like she actually cannot hear a difference between Ginny and Jeannie.
Ah.
So she told them her name was Ginny. So I thought that was like real cute that was going to be her American name, and I was like, oh, that's good.
I have to admit, before watching this, I never paid any attention to the fact that her name was Jeannie, the way it was spelled. To be like a name, Jean E.
And in fact, all female Jeannies are named Jeannie, including her evil fraternal twin sister, who is Barbara Eden in a brown wig.
Yeah.
This show is a lot.
Again, the backgrounds in this show were very much like mix and match, just go with whatever you feel like. Because at the start of it, she was a human that became a genie because she was cursed by a djinn. When she refused to marry him, he put her in the bottle for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
But then, and like for the first couple of seasons I was reading, like they very much made it where she had magical powers, but her family did not. Which her family apparently was still alive 2,000 years later. But then...
Without magic. Amazing.
Right. And all of that. But then now here, it's her great uncle is also a genie and can do magic.
Yeah.
With his, you know, his 6'7" bodyguards that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Guy was huge.
Well, you know, so part of the problem, right? So part of the reason that they wanted them to get married was because of Bewitched, because Samantha and Darren were married, and that was the whole thing. And like, when you look at how good Samantha's family is in Bewitched, which we will definitely get to at some point, right? Like, because her mother is incredible. Her uncle is just perfection. And so I think that like part of it is like, oh, well, more magic is more better for the walls.
It's that thing where they retcon in all this stuff about, you know, her always having magic and the family having magic and her evil twin sister and all that. And then when they made the movie, I Dream of Jeannie 15 years later that came out, they went back to the original story. So
yeah.
Like they couldn't even keep their stories, their retcons straight. They were retconning their retcon.
I haven't seen the movie, but I do kind of like going back to the original a little bit in that, you know, because like at some point you're just changing stuff just to fill 26 minutes.
I think you're missing that this was the original multiverse. You think we're seeing all one timeline in one universe. No, this is mix and match, you know.
That's fair.
So... yeah, well,
every blink is a different universe.
Yes, it branches every time you blink.
Well,
that happens when you screw with reality. We haven't even discussed the great TV event that is the belly button law that this show brought about. You know, because this is one of the pieces of trivia that showed up. You remember Nick at Night? They would have these commercials, and the commercials would be like, "This is a cool fact about this old show," or whatever. And I used to love this one. That Barbara Eden's belly button could not be shown on screen because that would be too lewd and she'd get fined when it happened. Because I think there was like one or two episodes where her belly button was out and they were like, no, no, no. I mean, to me, we went from Laura Petrie and Dick Van Dyke got to wear pants. You know, that was a fight.
Oh,
now we're fighting for belly buttons, but we're losing that battle. You know, what would the people who ran Standards and Practices in 66 think about today's television? They'd just pass out dead.
They would not make it through the first episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, yes. They would definitely, at least by the end, they're over. You know, or they start to like, what show is Naked and Afraid? That title can't even be in the show.
Nope. Just be aneurysm after aneurysm. Just be dropping like flies.
Grabbing their pearls until they choke themselves to death.
So this is I did pick this because it does show up on the list of things of jumping the shark, and it is technically the wedding episode that they list, but the wedding episode is like not it like it's just a wedding episode. Like there's nothing particularly like this is weird and. There's a lot that happened in this episode. The wedding one, Like, they just get mad. Like, hilarity ensues because you can't photograph a genie.
Nice.
So that's gets good. Fun. There's a lot of stuff where... which nobody liked that episode. Like, the people that made it, they hated doing it. Barbara Eden only liked it because Jeannie gets around the photography issue by blinking in the mannequin that they were using to hold her wedding dress to take her place. Like, she animates the mannequin to look like her so that they can take pictures. So she basically walks like a robot down the aisle. And so she thought that was fun. But it's not a great, and like nothing happened, right? Because I'd read the thing about like, oh, genies lose their powers. And so I was like waiting for that, right? Like for them to like kiss at the end of the wedding. And then she suddenly, no, she's fine. She did. And then
not this early to in
do
the season.
Wacky stuff for the rest of the season. Yeah. So that's I Dream of Jeannie Jumping the Shark by, and then she does still call him master after they get married. And that's just kinky. Standards and practices, where were you on that?
It's one of those where this fits like all the definitions of jumping the shark. Like, yeah. It's a change in the show's quality. It's weird and just out of place. Like, they're going to get married. All right. Oh, she's got family. And I don't remember if Basenji was ever mentioned before this episode. Because these are the only two.
It might have been, but I'm sure they used a different name.
It might have been, but these were the only two episodes that Jackie Coogan was in. So her uncle didn't show up until now as the Maharaja of Basenji, which is a type of dog.
Yes.
I still love that he has to abdicate and we get no reason why. It's like, okay.
He just decided to,
he just was
I
like,
think.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm tired.
Especially watching it now after seeing The Crown and all the crap that went on in England with that. And you're like, and he's just like, yeah, I'm just abdicating. Whatever.
I mean, if he's a genie and theoretically immortal, I would just get tired of being in charge after a while, right? Like, I'd be like, yeah, that was a good 600 years. I'm going to go do something else now. See you later.
Why not just let the huge, tall guy be king for a while? Let him be Maharaja.
Yeah, just hand it off, you know? You can blink him away if you want it back, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. You suck. My turn.
So, real quick, though, we did mention how everyone in the episode is white, even the people from Basenji and Kasha.
Yep.
However, they at least did not try to affect any accents, and I give them some credit there. Jackie Coogan just sounded like Jackie Coogan, and like the big tall dude was just sounded like somebody from New York. So I was glad about that.
Yeah.
You think they did that for the social justice aspect or just because extra work?
Yeah, okay. It's just a lot of work.
Like, something tells me they weren't like, we must respect the other cultures. Let's not use our
I'm pretty sure
our
the
accents.
First 30 seconds of the show kind of really put a stamper on that one.
Oh, yeah. It
did. Like, I'll give them the Alaska part because it, like, we don't use that word, but it's okay, I guess. But, So the one thing about this, right, is because now that people outside of Tony and Roger know about Jeannie, is that like basically the rest of the season is Jeannie finally interacting with all of these other people, which gets wild. So yeah, what did we think? Where do we land on this? Who's got an opinion? What do we think about?
I mean, it was.
I love I Dream of Jeannie. I mean. Yeah, this episode is not strong, and I'm sure every episode that comes after this was not strong. It sounds like you had a similar problem with me, with Laverne and Shirley, how it's like, this episode's before it sucks, but it still kind of sucks. You know? this is before it got bad. But I'll always have a soft spot for this show, and I would, if it was on TV and I was just sitting there eating chips, you know, I'd let it play.
Sure. Yeah, I had fun with it, regardless of the fact that it wasn't as good as I remembered other episodes being, but I still like it was enjoyable. And honestly, I mean, you're like Bill Daly is as Major Healy is the hero of this episode. He's just so great.
Yeah. Yeah. He carries this episode so hard.
I love Major Healy. He's the best.
Yeah, I dug it. It was fun to actually watch an episode of I Dream of Jeannie and actually focus on it. I don't think I'll watch any more intentionally, But that's what I say with every show because we've got too much junk to watch anyways.
Too much.
But again, if it's on and I can watch it, I would.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that wraps up Jumping the Shark.
Woo woo!
Which was a minefield of a topic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good one.
Yeah. So now we are well and truly into the spooky season. Mm-hmm. And so what better way to celebrate the spooky season than to do spooky TV?
Ooh,
So starting next week, that's our topic. The next few topics we've decided on because it's our show and we can.
Yeah.
So Travis,
we'll ask for help when we need it, but yeah, we don't need much help right now. It's okay.
No.
Yeah, we're good.
Trav, you've got the helm next week. What is our first Halloween-y offering?
So our first spooky episode, we are going to check out the adventures of one Michael Knight and Kit the Car.
Yes!
It is an episode called Halloween Night, spelled with a K, because every like three quarters of the episode titles have Knight in them in some way, some pun on Knight. So it will be Knight Rider. It is season 3, episode 5, I believe. I'll have to check my notes again.
Yes.
Season 3, episode 5, called Halloween Night. And it is available
on... I've never watched an episode of Knight Rider. I'm ready for this.
Oh, you're in for a treat. It is available to stream on Netflix. So it is very easy to find.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. If you remember Big Wheels, I had a Knight Rider Big Wheel, and
I would jealous ride of that one.
Yeah, it had the handbrake on it, mm-hmm. The house that we were living in at the time was in the downtown area, and I rode it up and down our block, and it was just the solid plastic wheels, and so all you heard was that sound on concrete. Up and down the block all day on the sidewalk.
While you're sitting there humming, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo.
Oh, yeah. Doo-doo. Oh, I loved it all the time.
Anybody else picture Tiny Travis still with the beard, though?
Yeah, he's still got the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Perfect.
Anyway, if you want to get in contact with us, because I have a feeling that nobody did, and we wish that you would. you can tweet us at Those Days Show. You can email us at thosewerethedaysshow@gmail.com, maybe?
Correct.
Yes. Look at that.
And you are also correct in that we got no responses this week. So send us emails. Dang, we want to hear from you.
Talk to us about old TV. Cringe with us about jokes that shouldn't have been made in 1969, let alone...
ever.
And if you're a fan of the Discord, tudorks.net/discord will put you in our Discord server where we post forum posts about each of these episodes. You can give us your thoughts there and hang out at the same time. I know you work a computer job where you sit there all day.
Yeah.
Get in the Discord.
Yes.
You're not doing anything else. Get in here.
You're not working. Browsing Reddit. Get in the Discord.
Yeah.
It's much more fun in the Two Dorks Discord, I promise you.
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So next week, Knight Rider, Halloween Night. Very excited. In the meantime, for me, for Travis, for Audie, and for Steven, thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week.